Hello, my fabulous listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I am your host, DJ Zero Sex Appeal, and we're broadcasting to you live from the Lovenasium.
But DJ Sex Appeal, I don't understand. Last week you were DJ All That, precisely because of your sex appeal. Why the change?
Well, I'm going to have to. This actually is a long and sort of involved story, and I might not be able to tell the whole thing right now. But I just want to get at the point that. I think as an adult, you have a duty to examine yourself and be reasonable about the expectations and what your goals are in life, what you're capable of, and what your expectations should be. And I've decided that I have no sex appeal, and I just have to accept that. I have zero sex appeal. So this is what happened. I was jogging today, and I was jogging through the Fruit Loop, which is...
Why don't we introduce our fabulous guests before going into this fascinating story?
I want to hear this story.
We'll get to the... Look.
We'll spend 3 minutes on the story.
Look, damn it, it's my show, okay? I didn't even ask you to come here. So, anyway, it's just the point is I was jogging through the Fruit Loop today, and the Fruit Loop, of course, is this area of Fenley Park where all the homosexuals congregate and have illicit sex and then go back to their tired, sad little lives. And so I was jogging through there, and, like, you know, I thought, well, gee, you know, what's going to happen? They're going to, like, see me in my fine little clingy little shorts and my fabulous little workout gear, and they're going to be, like, very attracted to me, and they'll want to hit on me. But no, one group of men laughed at me, and made mocking comments of some kind, and another group just... gave me, like, this weird kind of surly, dirty look.
Are you sure they were gay?
I have no way. I don't know what experiment I would have performed. I mean, they were in the gay part of the park. Anyway, so with that mystery in mind, we can suppress the rest of the story. And I want to introduce our very, very fabulous guest and her fabulous bodyguard, I guess. This is, we have with us in the studio tonight in the Lovenasium, Lisa and Shep.
Hello.
and
my monosyllabic bodyguard.
And Lance, oh my.
Sweet Jesus.
Wow. How amazing.
Wow. Sorry, you listeners out there, for those of you that don't understand what just happened, a mystery man from this show's past just walked into the studio with either a delivery of food and or an intent to take place in the show.
I think the letter is, this is DJ Juan Pablo, who our longtime listeners will know, he'll be joining us as soon as he settles down. Lance, could you do a better job at introducing our guests?
For the first time in since I can remember, we have a guest here who's actually qualified to be on a show about love and sex. I'd like to introduce Lisa, who writes the Modern Love column in the City Paper.
That would be me. I'd like to offer an explanation for the zero sex appeal in the Fruit Loop today. And that is, aren't most of the people there sort of in the closet and there to pick up teenage boys? And since you're neither of those things, maybe you just scared them.
Really? Well, that's a good point. I mean, I do assume that a lot of sort of married men or men who are otherwise not integrated into the lifestyle go there. I didn't realize the teenage boy aspect was their primary goal. I mean, can I not pass for a teenage boy, or do I need to, as an adult, do I need to also accept that I have zero teenage boy appeal as well?
You could pass for a teenage boy in a movie.
Oh, you mean or like Party of Five or something?
Sort of,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Much like Dylan on 90210 could pass for a teenage boy.
Interesting.
Handsome, with something about the essence of youth with him, if not the actual completely 100% flawless skin.
See, this comes from months of analyzing photographs of desperate, dateless people in the Pittsburgh area.
What, your uncannily accurate insight?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, well, why don't we move on then? Why don't you tell us a little bit about the column, how it started?
It started when I got fired from my previous column job, which was theater critic. I pitched this new idea to them. It was actually something that I'd been working on for a while. I was sort of ready to move on to have actual readers. And
you figured writing about sex was easily the best way
absolutely.
To get readers.
Absolutely. And actually, they wanted me to go on the dates, but I put the kibosh on that. Forget it.
That puts a lot of wear and tear on a girl to go on one date every week, right?
Yeah, right, right. With a different person. Yeah. I mean, how many... I mean, just judging from the range of people that I get, you know, I can't imagine that I'd be able to find someone every week that...
So any I, mean, hope I have to say you are extremely fabulous. I mean, I don't know if that's clear to our listeners. I mean, this lovely
get down
outfit.
Get with your bad
of,
self.
I don't know. I whenever I describe someone to the radio, I try to find like the ideal combination of Hollywood actresses or actors who would possibly be your ancestors. You know, so I think there's a little Meryl Streep action there, and I think that in a good way. I mean, you know, and maybe a little.
Funny, I've been called Yentl. No, that's Barbara Streisand. I'm sorry. No, Barbara Streisand.
And then maybe a little bit of that deaf chick. You know,
Marlene
Matlin, little element there. Not because you seem to have a
spastic.
No, but what are you referring to? Our calm, quiet dignity.
there's a certain. I mean, people who are handicapped have are more dignified and more mature than normal people because they've had to work so much harder at life. So, you know, I'm a big fan of...
True. Well, as far as maturity goes, we set the bar rather low in the show.
So, I mean, if you could easily go on a date every week with, you know, presumably, I can't imagine a man in Pittsburgh who would not find you powerfully attractive.
So,
I think I'm in love with you. But it's my best friend's wedding all over again.
But you mentioned a date, which... brings me to the actual format of the column, because it's not an advice column.
Right. People send in applications, which includes writing down sort of what they're like, what they enjoy doing, and what would sour them on a particular romantic a potential romantic interest. And it's funny because a lot of times people, they somehow don't read that, and they write things like flowers and great conversation.
Well, maybe they do read that and they're stealing psychopaths.
Possibly.
Are these applications that they fill in sort of free form, or do they actually have little boxes?
No, there's a format. Yeah, there's a box, and you say, I am a, you know, male seeking a female, or female seeking a male, or female seeking a female, or male seeking a male.
But okay, so if I get the idea, rather than using a sort of a computer algorithm to combine these things, you actually use your incredible insight into human nature to get an idea of what these people are really like and bring together potential matches.
Yeah, and I would like to go on the record as saying that I've had two marriages come out of parties that I had in my house. Although I've
not actually the column.
No, okay, no. The only success I've had in the column has been with a gay couple, and they
can't
legally
get married.
We have to move to Hawaii, right?
But still, this is evidence of your.
Well, and how long have they been?
Hope springs eternal.
How long have the gay couple been together?
She's looking at a wall.
I mean, the gay multiplier is at least 100. Like, you know, every day of gay time is like 100 days of heterosexual union time.
My
like,
God.
Then maybe 10,000 days.
Wow. DJ Zero Sex Appeal. Your relationship stretches back farther than the dawn of recorded history.
That's right. To the moment of the birth of the sun itself, I was there cruising the Shenley Park looking for teenage boys.
By the way, I'd like to bring up the point that if people want to give us a call, you can call us at 621-WRCT or here on the WRCT campus, or sorry, here on the CMU campus, 8-WRCT. They go on a date, and then
the city paper pays for the date, and
how much are we talking here? I mean,
$50.
Okay, so no charters to Reno.
No, I actually, you know, as one person put it in a column a few weeks back, rather succinctly, you know, you go out to dinner. How interesting is that? I mean, you can't contrive within this format. You can't contrive situations where people could potentially really get wild, like sending them for, you know, moonlit walks on the beach or, you know, to Margaritaville or wherever.
True, although $50 does buy a lot of grease and sprinkles.
It does, but I shouldn't say $50 because it depends. Actually, we just also brought in the Burrito Brothers restaurants into the fold, and they only give $30. Ooh. Ouch. But you know what? I don't get too involved with that part of it. The paper handles all that stuff. I just set up the date, and the people go out, and then I call them and interview them about it.
You're in it for the love, right?
Right.
Okay. Then do you write about the interview? Then do you write about the date?
Yes. Okay. Yes, and I use any unfair method of questioning available to me.
What does that mean?
Chinese water torture?
Right. No, I'll take people unawares. I mean, it's not Watergate. If somebody says something really horrible about a person and then says, oh, wait, don't write that, I mean, I'm not going to print it. And I delete a lot of really horrible things that the people say because I don't think that this should be about somebody feeling bad.
Can you give us an example? What's the worst thing anybody's ever said about some other, about the person they've been on a date?
Well, the first thing that came to mind, and it's not the worst thing, but just that this one woman, he didn't like her because she had bad teeth and zits.
Ooh.
Ouch.
I'd hate to see that printed.
Right, exactly. Well, you know what I did print that he said was awful? I got this great reader sent in all these pieces underlined in red, and she wrote this note that said, Vinny is a... and he should... you know, he's got the mouth of a schoolyard... I don't know. Barnyard dog. Right, right, yeah. Exactly.
That's not too low for us, though, right?
DJ Don Pablo.
Oh, hello. No, that's a restaurant in Mexico.
I'm sorry. What? I didn't hear what they said.
Juan Pablo, like the Pope.
Juan Pablo.
Yeah. So these issues are not too low for us. Maybe we could get some of these people in here. I don't know. I mean, zits.
Well, she did have a hot body, according.
Do you independently verify these facts about the zits and the teeth and the hot body?
I couldn't judge whether or not... from her picture, she had a hot body, or zits, or bad teeth. She sent a picture in with her in front of a manger, herself and her child in front of a manger.
Well, see, I mean, that would be an automatic no for me right there.
What is this device?
This is a Christian symbolism. It's, you know, Jesus was born in the
manger.
He had also sent in a photograph, a Christmas-themed photograph of himself in front of a Christmas tree.
So you thought
wearing what appeared to be a wedding ring.
Yeah, but the Christmas trees
were the match made in heaven.
So you combine the Christian symbolism with the pagan symbolism, thinking that would be a good kind of counterpoint for this relationship.
Certainly a starting point.
Wait, where was the pagan symbolism?
The Christmas tree. Jesus did not have a Christmas tree.
Right.
Okay.
You might want to review your catechism after the show.
So how do you decide who to set up on these dates?
It's entirely subjective.
And is there any kind of liability waiver that you have them sign? I mean, seriously, someone could go on a major, you know.
Well, I don't give out anyone's phone numbers or last names or say where they live or where they work. And if they choose to reveal that on the date, then that's on them. And by simply filling out the application, there's a sort of waiver of liability.
Oh, so they meet like in your office or?
No. They go on they meet at the appointed restaurant.
So the real question is, how do these dates go? What's your batting average, so to speak?
Two marriages? One
well, married? The two marriages aren't as a result of that, right?
Those were in the preseason.
Column. Those were, yeah. Yeah, the playoffs are not faring so well. So far I've had one absolute success and a couple of mild successes. But, you know, this one woman said to me, "You're not doing so well, are you?" And I said, "Well, you know, I guess you're not either. You wouldn't be sending in your photograph in an application." So I don't feel badly about it.
So you turn from nurturing to bitter pretty quickly when people turn on you.
Yes.
So do I. I mean, I think that's only fair.
But
am I there to nurture them? No, I'm there to get good copy.
that's a jaded attitude.
No, I don't set up people on a particularly, like, if someone says, "I'm looking for a nice Christian man," I don't find someone who says, you know, "I'm into devil worship," and like think, okay, I'm going to set them up.
Why not? It would make good copy.
It would. I was teasing.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever done any sort of politically, you know, active things, like put together a Jew and a Palestinian, or, you know? I mean, you can imagine.
The sparks flying there,
yeah.
So to speak. Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Well, actually, I've been following your columns thus far.
Excellent.
Whenever I do get a city paper, just because, to me, it's interesting. Because
do you actually read it or just look at the graph?
I actually read it.
Okay.
Because, to me, the copy is much more interesting than the graph, because I'm not a very mathematical person. But the sense I've gotten so far is that no one's really had an awful time. Maybe I missed that week.
Oh, yes, they have.
Yeah. Like I said, maybe I've missed that week, but... Yeah, I've only seen one that looked like I thought they'd go out again.
Right. No, there have been a couple that have, you know, maybe gone out again, but I don't think it's been any, you know, wild, crazy.
For those listeners who've never seen the column, I should point out that by referring to the graph, this is actually a special feature of the column where the datees will rank each other, will rate each other, give each other
on
a scale of 1 to 10, which might be argued to be the harshest of all aspects of the experience.
Yeah, especially when someone gives a zero.
I have to admit, the graph thing has just made me so glad that I'm in a serious relationship.
You're right.
So it's a little bit unfortunate that you reduce these things to a single number. I mean, if, for example, you could have, just judging by your own previous bad example, you could have like a dental quality graph.
There are multiple numbers. It's not just one number. What are the categories?
The categories are wit, compatibility. You know, you rate the person's sense of humor, you rate whether or not you're compatible with them, hair, grooming, clothes, sex appeal, and future romantic potential.
Ooh, that sex appeal kind of stung when you said that. But, I mean, you know, I get 1-0, and then maybe my other scores. I mean, you know, I could get, well, I probably wouldn't do too long clothing either.
Anyway. Future potential tells all, I suppose.
And Corey, let me just say one thing.
That's BJ, 0, sex appeal.
To you.
Oh, I just have one thing to say to you. Sample size of 1. Not generalizable.
Two different groups mocked me during my run.
Anything under 30.
Can we call you DJ Zsa Zsa? ZSA?
If you like, you can call me anything you want. This refers to like the cop slapping incident that occurred in LA a few years ago, or
it refers to so many things.
Why am I like that? are you having some kind of Green Acres flashback? Oh, that was Eva. Green Acres flashback?
Yeah, Eva. No. Wait, which one was on Green Acres?
Does it matter, really?
You would know.
But so back
to VSA, zero sex appeal.
Oh, you're so extremely clever.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. So,
this is why you work in print and I work in the audio media.
That's right.
I'm sorry, were you going to?
Yeah, actually, how long have you been writing the column? How long has this been going on now?
It premiered with a Valentine's Day issue in which I also had an article in the dumped section.
About what?
About a bad date I had in college.
Okay.
Basically, I used the article to point out what a jerk I was, which a lot of people didn't. They were sort of pointing out how other people were jerks.
You were a jerk on a specifically on this bad date, or you've been a jerk all throughout college?
On that particular date. I as a college student, a girl can be a full of herself.
So I'm still fascinated by this ranking of people after they go out on dates. Do you find that to be helpful? I mean, do you think that helps them in the date, or is that just there for good copy?
Well, it helps me generate additional comments sometimes, because when people talk about why they rate someone a certain way, they'll say something that they might not have said previously.
Oh, so it's just a mechanism for getting people to actually fess up there?
Like, no, you know, you've got to have a visual element to it, too. I mean, it would be a boring page if it was just all text. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the point of it. And I see a lot of people open up the page and look at the scale and then turn the page immediately.
Well, they only read the column if someone's all eights and above, something like that.
No, they just want to see that ranking. Pretty much, a lot of people think that tells a story.
Sort of like
but
a baseball box score.
Kathleen. I mean, yes.
Have you ever tried to predict the rankings that you're going to get? I mean, testing your own intuitive powers, which I'm sure are formidable. It would be interesting to graph both your prediction of how well the date would go and then how well it actually went. Just a little contribution to your article. I'm throwing that there.
Well, it must be interesting because you must set two people up and then upon future reflection say, like, this is not going to end well, right? Is that ever happened to you?
Oh, yes, yes.
Tell us, please.
I'm a little concerned about an upcoming one, but we don't need to go there. It's not for a while.
We have very few limits on this show.
We have what?
We have very few limits. If you're concerned about some sort of ethical boundary, I think you should transcend it.
I could just get right over that. Well, no, I'd hate for them to be listening, but they're both in their 40s, so I doubt it highly. But after, you know, sometimes after I talk to someone to set up the date, these people that are going to be going out in a couple of weeks, why do I think that the demographic of your listener is not
in
the 40s?
That occurred to us, but we're just going to
just because it's
past that.
An 11 to midnight slot. That's all.
So please.
The irresponsible 40s, you know.
Anyway, well, they live in 724 area codes also, so they might not pick up
our signal. Surprisingly strong.
Well, anyway, but I'll talk to people and I'll try and set up a date. And depending on what their attitude is during the conversation, I may or may not. It's that guy.
Has there ever been a date that went horribly wrong that you thought would be okay, but actually ended badly for all concerned?
Well, the Christmas people, the Christmas kids. I thought that they were really going to hit it off.
Who were the Christmas kids?
The ones who had a hot body and she had a hot body but bad teeth and. Right.
Oh, okay.
Right, back to the bits.
So, because you're so powerfully interesting, we've actually had a couple of callers already, and I've been suppressing them so far because I wanted to get sort of lay the groundwork. Are you,
it's not just your love of power.
Well, there's multiple components. So are you interested in taking a couple of calls? People actually have generic relationship questions that you might have some insight into.
And they know we're not going to be able to help, so your being here is a rare chance for the show to actually provide a public service.
So the caller's there. We're ready for it. Hello, caller.
Am I the caller?
You are the caller.
The caller's there. We're ready for it. Hello, caller.
Am I the caller?
You are the caller.
All right. I think your delay threw me off there. This isn't really about that column. It's more of a generic question, like you just mentioned.
Okay, please, by all means, fire away.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering. See, this is a thing that has me a little bit suspicious of things that women will tell me sometimes, you know. Maybe it's good that we have a woman in the studio tonight, too.
Well, two.
Well, I'm just...
We're chock full.
Three if you count Producer Kate.
Just to save time, you do not have a large penis. We can just cover that right now. It's circle.
That's what I don't think I do.
Well,
I just wonder, is it common, is it like kind of standard operating procedure for a woman to say, oh, it's such the right size, blah, blah, blah.
What?
It's a perfect size. Oh, that's so big, but it's not too big. Because, I mean, conventional wisdom says that men are really concerned with the size of their penis, da-da-da-da-da. So I'm thinking, you know, they say that, maybe they'll score some points, you know, and, you know, buy her flowers the next day because I feel good about myself, or, you know. But, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, we understand the concern. It's one shared by many men.
I'm a little bit cynical about this.
Which part are you cynical
about? Well, I think his real question is, are women engaged?
I think you're right on there.
Are women deliberately manipulating men?
In a systematic global campaign of deception.
Rather than being honest, rather than being honest about the penis size. I mean, the thing is...
Sure.
Okay, caller, that's the answer.
It varies from woman to woman.
Okay, well, all right. I've heard it a lot.
Well,
I mean, I'm not
have you heard anything to the contrary at the end of the relationship? That's the real key question.
Ah, okay, good point. Okay, great.
That's so cruel. You say, and by the way, your penis isn't big? I mean, is that what you mean?
It doesn't really concern me, you know? I don't get any complaints, so.
Interesting. How big is your penis?
Oh, man, I haven't measured it for years.
Well, the last time you checked.
The last time I measured it was like 4 or 5 years ago. Then I think it was like, I think it was around 7.5 or so.
Well, that's a very ample penis. I think
you have a penis. Yeah, that was centimeters.
Is your penis size being measured by linear dimension or by volumetric displacement?
And units are important, too.
I never did get the tape measure. I wasn't really that hardcore.
So did you just eyeball it and know it was 7.5 centimeters?
No, I took, you know, a wooden ruler.
Ah, okay.
And, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you hit yourself with the ruler?
Did I hit myself with it?
Before or after?
Anyways, caller, now that we've established this worldwide conspiracy, do you have any follow-up questions?
Well, I have a quick question about last week's show. I kind of missed this, so I heard it secondhand. But you made a comment about, I think you were in the bathhouse, or one of you, or both of you were in the bathhouse.
I've heard about this.
Okay.
We were in the bathhouse, but purely as researchers for the program.
Of course, yeah. And, there was a comment you made, something about one guy giving another one oral sex, and the fact that they weren't using a condom really kind of upset you. I was wondering if you could clarify what...
Actually, the host who made that comment isn't here now.
Okay.
But his essential point was he saw lots of sexual activity going on, none of it including explicitly anal penetration. Lots of oral activity, lots of other stuff, and he never saw condom in use, and that troubled him. That was his point.
Oh.
And then the discussion evolved to the relative STD transmission risks for different types of sexual behavior.
Oh, I would have liked to hear that. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed it.
Well, as you may or may not know, all Loveline shows are actually recorded and are available for listening online.
Oh, okay.
And what's that address?
What is the address? Oh, it's sextalk.wrct.com. If that makes you uncomfortable, it's also at loveline.wrct.org. So, caller, have we made you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy camper.
And if you have any additional questions about the arena, you can go there. I mean, they're open 24/7.
24 hours.
In fact, you don't even want to show up till around midnight, we were told.
Straight people need something like that.
God. Well, God, we've got hookers.
And yeah,
that's
clubs.
More pricey, though, I think.
True. Thank you, caller.
All right.
So thanks for the. By the way, if you have other more on point questions for our guest, please do call in at 621-WRCT. That's 621-9728. So back to the column. sorry, one might expect that some of the dates would have gone horribly wrong. Other than the. Woman with
oh, yes. We've had some dates go horribly wrong. Most people are very nice about it, though. Most people say it was a good time. They would like to do it again. I think that maybe the first column was the worst one, and that really did surprise me. I didn't expect that to go off as badly as it did. But there are always facts about people that they don't divulge, and I don't find out until afterward. And it's funny that sometimes it's the other person who tells the facts, and
yeah.
Not the person. The problem with the first date was that the first man lived at home with his mom and always had, and he was 38, and that was just a problem.
See, I can see that that would be a problem.
Corey, you look perplexed.
Now, when you say Corey, you probably mean DJ Zero Sex Appeal 2000, which was my actual name. But here's my question.
I'm having a cocktail.
Oh, we have a caller? I have an extremely important question, but someone's just signaled to me that we have a caller.
Well, why don't we handle the question and then we'll go
what
to the caller.
What was call. That? Well, you make some kind of hand signal.
No, that is the we
that's
have a caller
gay
sign.
Gay cruising.
Wow, that explains a lot of confusion in this past in the studio. If that's what that sign really means.
Oh God.
So, Corey, why don't we handle the caller in a second?
Handle the caller now? No, later.
Let's go with the question. And then
the question's kind of long. So the question is, here's the problem. There's two problems. People who are dating have they make this crucial mistake. In their mind, they develop these very complex models of the kind of person they want to date. They develop this list. You know, this person has to be this way. He has to not live with his mother. All these sort of very sophisticated rules that they develop. And if you like miss one of those rules, you're out. Even if you might otherwise be a fabulous person, isn't it wrong to go into a first date with any kinds of these expectations? Why not just experience the person for who they are, and you know, maybe you'll find something about them, that little nugget of beauty that's so fabulous for you that the other things stop mattering. I mean, you know, there's lots of reasons why you might be living with your mom. I mean, maybe she's...
Testify, brother.
Maybe she's...
DJ Zsa Zsa 2000. Yes, right on. You know what? It's funny because I actually always do try and get at that with questions that I ask people. First of all, before I set them up, I say things like, you know, be nice, let your hair down, be open to the experience. Because, you know, if someone has gone to the trouble of filling out the application and sending in the photograph or multiple photographs, you know, they're interested in finding someone to go out with. And when I talk to someone and they tell me why, through their complicated list of reasoning, they don't want to go on a second or subsequent date with that person, I'll ask them, you know, what is it that you think makes a man and woman work together, or a man and man, or a woman and woman? And everybody gives me a different answer.
It's also subjective, though, too, because I know something I've said about a really bad date I went on was that half the things he said that I was repeating sarcastically to my office mate Monday morning, I then kind of stepped back and said, you know, though, if I'd liked them, all of these would have been fine. In fact, they would have been real nice, but just something was wrong.
So you're saying there's some essence, some indefinable, uncategorical essence that if he had had it, would have forgiven him for a multitude of sins.
I think it's pheromones.
That's part of it. In this particular case, just a lack of such total desperation would have been lovely. But we have a caller.
It's kind of definable, after all.
Yeah, okay, that's categorizable. Should we move to the caller?
Indeed. Hello, caller. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. My name's Todd.
Todd, welcome to the show. Do you have a comment or a question?
I have a question. I have, like, a kind of obsession with a certain celebrity, and like it's to the point where I act out like dates and everything, and I was just wondering if that was, you know, if there's anything I could do, if I should do anything about that, because it's been interfering in my relationships, you know.
Well, it depends on the celebrity. Is it Roseanne?
No, it's Ginger Spice from the Spice Girls.
Okay, you may have a problem.
You may want to seek some counseling.
Ginger Spice is the
redheaded one. She's no longer a Spice.
Oh, okay.
She's actually a UN spokesman now.
She's now blonde.
Sorry, UN spokeswoman now. Honest to God.
That's I mean, I think, you know, it's important to have role models. I mean, this person's a very important ambassador for peace now.
I think from the tone of the caller's voice that she's not exactly fulfilling the function of role model in his life, though.
Excellent observation.
So, so in these fantasy dates that you go on, are they? I'm unclear on what happens. Do you actually go on dates with other people and pretend that they're Ginger Spice, UN ambassador, or do you just like at home when you're going to bed or when you're masturbating, you think about Ginger and what it might be like to be with her?
Like I'll get dressed up and I'll just make dinner and pretend that it's for me and her, and I'll put on bands I like a Public Nuisance and stuff, and I'll listen to them and, you know, just pretend I'm with her.
You mean you'll actually, like, make two play settings, one for you and one for the virtual Ginger? And
No, I just make one for me, and I eat, and I just pretend she's there.
Do you talk to her? Do you have a little conversation?
Yeah, we joke around and stuff.
Interesting.
About the UN?
About, no.
I mean, do you talk mostly about her day or about yours? I mean,
well, kind of both.
Colin, has this happened before? Is this the first? Is this the only time in your life this has happened? Or
yeah, it's the only time.
Do you
have a likeness of Ginger Spice?
What do you mean, like a picture somewhere?
Or like one
pictures,
of those
inflatable
cardboard?
I have plenty of pictures.
Okay. But so she's the only one. So, like, you know, Shirley Temple Black is an ambassador of some kind, right? You don't. I mean, so you haven't had fantasies about other government figures or ambassadors?
Oh, no.
I see.
There's nothing Orwellian here.
Is it a sexual or spiritual attraction you have to her? I mean, do you
good
have
question.
Sex at the end of a date?
Sometimes. It just depends.
You said it was interfering with your other relationships. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, like, if I go on a date with someone else and that's all I talk about, or they come over and they see that I have pictures of her everywhere, and, you know, they see me listening to them and dancing and stuff.
Yeah, I'm no expert, but I know that talking about Ginger Spice nearly exclusively on a date is probably a bad move.
If the caller does stay on the air, we need you to talk a little bit louder due to our primitive technology.
Earth technology, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So no, it's okay. I know.
It's our primitive Earth technology. It's not your fault.
Well, is there anything that I should do? Anything that could help? Or
I'm not yet convinced there's a problem. I mean, so the problem is that you think it's preventing you from progressing in your more.
It becomes a problem when it interferes with his relationships with human beings that are present in his life, right? That's where I draw the line.
Yeah.
Do you think it would help or hurt if one of the women you were dating would play the role of Ginger for an evening, like actually pretend to be Ginger, dress up like Ginger, you know, maybe sing like Ginger?
I don't know. It might help. I mean, it might, like, it might kind of make me like her for that, though, and not for her, you know?
Yeah.
And it might be kind of like I was just staying with her for that, and when she was herself, I wouldn't like it as much.
But, I mean, aren't we always putting on a facade of some kind? I mean,
sure, but there's a difference between closing your eyes during sex and thinking about somebody and actually making it the centerpiece of a date conversation, right? I mean, there should be a wall between our private lives and between our private fantasy lives and our public fantasy lives.
No, but I agree with DJ, whatever his name is today.
Zero sex.
Because even when we start with somebody that is in our, you know, a friend or a classmate or something, a co-worker, we're still starting with a total fantasy. And we get to know them, we modify our expectations, and eventually, you know, we
dump them.
Need some.
that is so true, DJ Juan Pablo. That is so true. I mean, I am actually in a gay relationship right now. I'm currently exploring the homosexual
monogamous
part of my, what?
Monogamous. Leaking.
Your word, not mine. and indeed, you know, my partner, as fabulous as he is sort of nothing like who I sort of imagined him to be when we first met. I mean, you know.
Well, DJ Sexecutioner, let me ask you the following question. Do you have dinner with other men? Do you have dinner with imaginary versions of other men that you're attracted to?
You know, it's interesting because actually my partner and I rarely have. I mean, when we have dinner, we go to Taco Bell, for example. And so it's hard to imagine. You know, it's hard to imagine, like, I would take Ginger Spice to Taco Bell, or, you know, I don't know what the sort of gay male equivalent would be to Ginger Spice. Maybe, you know, I don't know, George Hamilton, is that
guy from the Real World?
Is there a thing, Michael Douglas? I don't know, but you know, I mean, you could, so. I'm never actually in a position where I'm at a date-like. I don't have many date-like encounters with my.
True, but our caller doesn't take Ginger Spice to Taco Bell. He has dinner with her at home. I mean, that's not the issue, I don't think.
I see. I'm sorry. What was the question?
Sorry, caller. I apologize. I mean, I just don't think we're going to be able to give you the sort of advice you're looking for.
Oh, that's okay.
Except for
perhaps. Can I make an offer? it's funny because I can see James is rattled by your by your behavior.
proceed.
Well, I just know that I know some adult women who actually probably have very similar fantasies.
About Ginger Spice?
No, you know, Matt Damon or Leonardo DiCaprio or someone like that.
With dinner and imaginary dates and the whole thing?
I don't know about dinner and the imaginary dates, but I did see a disturbing altar-like display in this woman's bedroom, and it was all about Matt Damon. And I asked her, well, what do men think when you bring them here? And she just kind of laughed.
What, like a mad scientist laugh or like a polite prom laugh?
Prom laugh, okay. Yeah. And
I just want to insert that I've actually met Matt Damon because we were undergrads together at my undergrad. Proceed. I actually talked to Matt one time.
What did he say?
See, it's actually kind of a good story, but I'll suppress it for now.
We have a disrupted person on the line.
Yeah, we have to focus on that.
Sorry, back to the actual credentialized advice.
Well, I think that in women, maybe not women, but teenage girls would be a better way to put it, or even teenage boys, that kind of behavior is fairly normal. How old are you, caller?
I'm 23.
23?
Yeah.
Hmm. So that's
a little bit outside the demographic range for Tiger Beat. But.
Say, Lisa, has Ginger Spice written in asking to be set up on a date in your column?
Not yet. No.
Damn. You know what happened? There was some kind of country music star. I can't remember who it was. Some woman, who this high school boy sent her a little fan letter asking her to go to his prom with him, and she accepted, and they went to the prom together. Do you remember this? And this is not.
I've heard of this myself.
I don't remember
Shania Twain, but I'm not sure.
I suspect Ginger is too busy with UN responsibilities.
Yeah, I don't think they'd let me into a prom anyway.
Okay.
I go back to that argument that DJ, whatever his name, made before. Sexecution, is that right?
DJ Sexecutioner.
Which is, I don't think this is so unusual. I don't think it's weird. It's only weird that you're choosing such a simple model, I guess. But
hey, let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Absolutely.
And if it's creating a problem with your life, then seeing a counselor might well help. If it's not creating a problem with your life, have fun.
A counselor? Like Diana Troy or something?
No, like
Dionne Warwick.
Like a psychiatrist, something like that.
A therapist.
A therapist, really. Anyways, caller, I think you've probably exhausted the expertise of the group here.
Yeah.
My fault.
No need to apologize. But there are problems that aren't susceptible to 10-minute solutions thrown up by a bunch of credentialless sex experts.
Or frustrated sex experts.
Frustrated sex. Well, I can only speak for myself. So, there you go.
Thank you for calling in. I actually have one suggestion for the caller, which I can talk about either on the air or to the caller himself. I would like you to determine what it is about Ginger Spice, what attributes Ginger has that the so-called ordinary women that you're dating do not. And I would like you to make a list of both famous, important women in history, you know, Ayn Rand or
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Eleanor Roosevelt, she's a lesbian and therefore disqualified, but
no, still open to fantasy.
And
I'd say bisexual.
And see which of these women you might find yourself fantasizing about. And presumably, your desires are not so narrow that you would you require only Ginger Spice. But presumably, there's other women, maybe, you know, the late Princess Di, for example, or somebody like that. And see if you can find out the common attributes that are actually drawing you to these women, and seeing if you can find those qualities in people that you know and that you're dating. I mean, maybe what you're looking for is some very appealing aspect of Ginger Spice. She's strong, she's independent, she's an ambassador for peace, she puts the needs of the many over above the needs of the few.
She has large breasts. DJ Sexcutioner, that it's a simple act of transference that you're suggesting, and it's a beautiful thing.
A good suggestion.
Thank you so much. So,
good luck, caller.
Thank you.
So, didn't I have a question a while back? I don't remember what it was.
You were going to tell us a story.
We had this long question that you wanted to talk about before we went to the caller, but why don't we get back to Lisa and her wonderful column?
I have a question. Are you going to do a retrospective, let's say next Valentine's Day, of has anyone stayed together, that sort of thing?
You know, I get asked that all the time, and it probably goes back to the issue of liability, and that is we're not really tracking what happens.
Yeah. that's a just great idea of kind of a tag and release program.
Yeah.
I mean, you do have the phone numbers. A few quick calls, right?
I think this is a transient lot.
Oh, perhaps.
Of course, they have the city paper's phone number, so they can always call.
You could put
us
out a booty call, so to speak.
Right.
How many applications do you get per week, say?
It really varies. I have hundreds of applications, and some weeks I'll get 20, and some weeks I'll get 5. Mm-hmm. When it first started, I was just getting flooded, and they were sending me a couple of packets a week, and now I get just one a week.
I'd like to ask about the demographic makeup of your applicants, right? So we know you've set up two gay men.
Right.
Right. And we know presumably there are a bunch of straight couples that you put together. What about the last option?
I have not yet had a single lesbian applicant or couple, and that, I don't know why that is. I'd really love to get some.
Would you like to issue an official invitation to lesbians?
Yes, I'd like to make this an official appeal to the lesbian listening audience.
So, lesbians, pick up a city paper.
Fill out an application.
Read Lisa's column. Fill out the appropriate application. DJ Sexecutioner, do you have any speculations as to why lesbians just aren't pulling their weight in this?
So to speak.
I actually had a completely unrelated question. That's for the lesbian issue. I assume it's because they're, you know, too busy in their, you know, heavy labor-related jobs to actually spend time.
Maybe time for them compresses in the opposite direction.
That's an excellent point. I actually have a question.
I don't even understand it.
Inject another question here. Have you ever tried to put together people? This is kind of along the Jenny Jones line of a secret admirer kind of thing, where you know person A would really groove on person B. But in the reverse direction, you know, it might take some more doing. So, for example, have you hooked up a gay man with a straight man who's perhaps bi-curious? Or, you know, you can imagine other pairings where, you know, one person would really like the other person and the other person with maybe just a little bit of...
Are you suggesting that she creates stalkers in potentially unstable situations?
Partially, I'm suggesting that, yes.
No.
Well, the obvious follow-up is,
no, because
why not?
Because people, and actually I think I was more amused by the idea than I am now, having done it for a while. People are very sincere, and they really are earnestly looking for people to spend quality time with. And they are lonely people, and I want to...
Help them?
That sounds so...
Give them a chance?
Limp, but
nothing wrong with it, darn it.
But yeah, I mean, these people are really honestly looking, and actually I've had some people say, oh yeah, I'd like to try that, and you know, it'd be a fun experiment or blah blah blah. And you know, people that I know, I mean, obviously if somebody has that attitude and they write a very serious application, I can't tell, but you know, if someone says that to me that I know, then I just sort of discount them because I don't want to dupe anybody.
Sounds like you're actually being very sensitive with these folks, because I think really people are putting themselves sometimes in a very vulnerable place. I mean, to let it be printed how your blind date rates you. I don't know.
That's interesting. But so to follow up on my previous question, it's also true. I mean, I think it's almost an axiom of dating that opposites attract.
Yeah.
Right. And so have you made any attempt to put, I'm sort of keying in on the thing you just said, putting lonely people together is a big mistake. I mean, that's just like, going to be like a big lonely, kind of pathetic, depressive meltdown, right? I mean, you need to match a lonely person with an outgoing person, right? And so that they can...
That's a pretty pessimistic worldview, DJ Sexecutioner.
Well, no.
Sometimes lonely people can find happiness in each other's arms.
And the only people are often outgoing as well.
Well, actually, I mean, I'm not sure.
So you can be lonely in a room full of crowded people.
I feel that way right now.
Okay, sorry, I've exceeded the cliche limit for the show. I will now be quiet.
In a room full of crowded people, I mean crowded full of people.
But I mean, it's true. So for example, you know, in many ways, I am, you know, introverted, and my significant other is more extroverted, for example. Ah.
So you're saying you have complementary qualities.
You're introverted?
Well,
you're in a radio show. You direct a radio show. Anyway, go on.
I'm crying inside. I'm just a little...
You wear black on the outside because black is what you feel on the inside?
Well, I'm not actually literally wearing black. Your statement resonates with my dark, empty soul.
Well, I actually am wearing black right now, and I don't feel black on the inside. I feel more mauve.
I'm Paisley myself.
Are you, DJ Sexecution, are you suggesting a cut-ups method of love in the same way that Burroughs took random fragments of text and mashed them together without sense or plan in order to create fiction? Are you suggesting she did the same thing in order for people to find love where they wouldn't have expected to find it before?
I think I may be, although not just putting random people together, but putting people that your own intuition about human nature suggests, you know, putting a yin with a yang, for example.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, that happened to me last week quite accidentally because I had this application from this. I can get them over the internet or in the mail, and this gentleman had sent me an application over the internet. And what I do is I take the pictures and I staple them to the applications, and I have this huge file. And sometimes they get all messed up, and I had set up this gentleman on a date, and she backed out at the last minute, so I had to get someone else very quickly. And I called her up, and the only reason I mention this is because I was raving about his characteristics. And as it turns out, I had had the wrong photograph attached to that application. And actually, a friend of mine made a very insightful comment, because the person that I set her up with turned out to be a very large person. And we were all saying, well, you know what, maybe she'll just like that kind of big guy, and it'll be great. And she said, you know, if it was reversed and it was the woman's picture that you had messed up, there would be no hope. And as it turned out, she did think he was attractive, which frankly shocked me, although he was, I think, one of the nicest guys I've talked to on the phone, and very interesting. But
I don't know if no hope is the right word. In fact, a topic of this very show about 3 weeks ago, I believe, was...
Loving love handles.
Well, we didn't phrase it so delicately, but essentially, yes.
A fetish for flesh.
Big body, big heart, I think, was the name of that.
Once again, where were these lyrical gifts 3 weeks ago?
So, you know, that story made so little sense, I didn't really understand it. The point was, so you had a what you're claiming is that you had an unattractive man that you accidentally paired with an unattractive woman.
No, she was a very cute woman.
Oh.
And she was also very petite. And I thought that this was a petite guy.
I see.
He was a big guy.
But it worked out anyway.
Well, I don't think you're going to go out again, but she thought he was attractive, which,
interesting,
at the most basic level, surprised me. But,
you have some kind of physical claim that, you know, the people should be of approximately equal size or equal mass, more.
Well,
equal gravitational.
Well, equal mass relative to their gender, perhaps. Right? would you like?
Well, she was 5'2" or 5'3", and he was 6'4".
Wow,
that's quite a bit different.
He was tall.
And I don't know about you, but I personally have had experiences with people who were that much different than me size wise, and it's kind of a problem.
That would make them 6'8"?
About, but.
Wow.
Well, it's a problem.
Well, if you're trying to have sex with someone who's that much larger than you, you can't For those who can't see what I'm doing with my hands.
Even those of us who can don't quite get
it. Can't you think of it as more of a tree climbing exercise?
So the point is that...
I guess it depends on how adventurous you are.
Your claim is that when his penis enters your vagina, you can't sort of kiss at the same time. Is that the problem? I mean...
Yeah, I'm not understanding the logistics in detail. Maybe we should...
Or maybe 69...
Gentlemen, what do you think this is? A sex show?
69 might be impossible because your torsos aren't
exactly.
The same size.
It's not so much that the military position is difficult. The military missionary!
I went.
I think that's the only one the military can use, though, so you're probably okay.
I'm okay with that. The missionary position. See, why give them names? But, you know, other positions are a little bit
otherwise,
more
otherwise, we'd have to identify them with hand gestures. No. And you know how well that works on a radio show.
Only the 69 is a problem. That's where I think my poor mind can
be. What about the reverse Bolivian?
The flying butterflies problem.
So you mentioned a website earlier where people could fill in applications. Would you like to give the address of that, or are you afraid of being deluged?
It's pghcitypaper.com.
Okay.
How much time does it take to deal with the flood of applications every week?
It depends. I actually kind of have a committee. But as far as setting up people who are wildly different, I'm willing to try anything, any combination. And, you know, just wait till you're the lucky one getting called.
Any combination? Have you thought of a man and a horse, for example, for April Fool's?
Only if I get an application from a horse.
Oh, it's hard to top that, isn't it?
Well, see, I mean, I think that in our few remaining moments left, I think that the key area that you have not explored, I mean, what you're doing is you're pairing people together who basically think they want to be together, and I think that the key is to pair people together that think they might hate each other. This is sort of the moonlighting phenomenon or whatever, you know.
Sybil and Bruce.
The classic love-hate relationship.
Exactly, or, you know, the sort of Scott Amador, Jonathan Schmitz thing. For those people who have been watching the Jenny Jones trial, as I have... Oh.
Well, do we really want that outcome?
No.
I mean, it's easy to say no, but I
well,
I say no to
murder. DJ's sex education, much the implications for sort of change in American society may be, right? Someone is dead.
I would have no way of making any sort of assessment if somebody would even have an inclination toward homosexuality. That would be even more subjective than the way that I already do it. I mean, I've looked at several pictures. I've had several applications where I was shocked to see that the person was actually looking for a female. Shocked, I tell you. Shocked. I can bring them in and show you.
Because they're so obviously gay-looking that you just assume that they must be homosexual. This is the effeminate male phenomenon. Effeminate heterosexual.
Effeminate heterosexual with, I mean, a poem about looking for his soulmate. And the picture, it was this black and white, and his hair was all gelled, and he was going like this.
I know, it sounds like Lord Byron to me.
You've just made a gesture which has made me very uncomfortable, and so I wish the listeners could see that. But
pulling your collar up around your neck.
With just a man
and flashing
smile.
My teeth, right.
Yeah, that's lots of teeth.
You know, there is so much more to ask you, and I wish I could, but tragically the hour is up, and we have to go. I want to announce to our monitors that this is WRCT Pittsburgh. And thank you all for listening.
I would like to point out, however, before we go, that this is the last show of the semester. We will not be here next week.
Interesting.
We will probably be here during the summer at the same time. So check us out in 3 weeks.
Tuesdays at 11. And check the website,
yeah.
sextalk.wrct.com. But don't panic. That's an excellent point. Don't panic if we don't seem to be on your radio. Lisa, was that your name?
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 4th Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.